From the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia under A, Anglo-Saxon Seedbed. One of Raven's favorite themes is that the Ozarks were peopled by hereditary Anglo-Saxons, whose culture was preserved in the isolation of the mountains. In his encyclopedia is a letter written in 1932, vigorously disputing this theme and affirming that, on the contrary, the Ozark Mountain people were of Celtic descent. The writer, Lorna Bell Konitz, says, "I personally cannot understand where the idea ever came from that they were Anglo-Saxons. The Angles and the Saxons were a Teutonic people, and certainly the mountaineers are not Teutons." I think that what Raeburn meant was that the Ozark settlers had arrived before the great migrations of Italians, Poles, Russians, and others who were not Protestants, did not speak English, and ate different foods from the Ozarkers. The finer points of the geography and ethnography of Great Britain were not important to him in this analysis, so he used the name Anglo-Saxon to describe these Ozark pioneers. Here is what Raeburn says about this. "Not many people of the old Ozarks were hillbillies. Most of them were just common people of America's great middle class, descendants of English, Scotch, Irish, and a sprinkling of French and German immigrants. We sometimes refer to them as old-line Ozarkers to distinguish them from the nomads who drifted in, squatted for a season, and then moved on. The original pioneers were of more sturdy stock, for it took perseverance and integrity to conquer the wilderness. Patience is bred in the bone of hill folks. Both heredity and environment may be given credit for this situation. During the latter half of the 19th century, waves of immigration passed by to the north and the south, to the lucrative lands farther west, leaving the solitude of the Ozarks almost untouched. Whether this was gain or loss, we leave for the sociologist to decide. It is a fact that culture was deeply bedded in the hills, and that many of the old-time Ozarkians were gentlemen and scholars, and not poor white trash, as some writers would have us believe. When they trekked in from Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and other points south and east, they brought their teachers, preachers, lawyers, doctors, and craftsmen with them. Isolated from the melting pot of the throbbing outside world, they built a little world of their own, based upon individual freedom of action, and streamlined, so to speak, with pioneer logic. Remains of the old ways can still be found in the deep pockets of the Ozarks, to the delight of travelers who follow the byways in the back hills. The natives of the Ozarks may be divided into two distinct classes. The true Ozarker is the purest of Anglo-Saxons on the North American continent. He is usually a fundamentalist in his thinking, but his speech and his mannerisms are true to the mold of his ancestry. Whole settlements can be found which, if set down in the middle of England today, would arouse little comment by their speech. Isolation naturally has caused much intermarriage, but this has in no way lowered his intelligence or his physical vigor. Thousands of the sons and daughters of these sturdy pioneers are the cream of our citizenship and the hope of America tomorrow. The other class is also present. The name poor whites is not appropriate, however, to this second class. Many of them have gotten into politics. Many are financially successful. They are good moonshiners and bootleggers. Such illegitimate clans, grafting themselves into Ozarkian life, have brought much discredit to a hardy race who have carried the banner of racial purity far into the 20th century in America. In his book, Ozark Country, published in 1941, Raeburn was already beginning to modify his ideas about the ethnic purity of the Ozarks. He wrote, "The average Ozarkian does not realize the value of his heritage to himself and to the world. He is losing his distinctive traits and is becoming a drab, standardized American. Once the transformation is complete, the romantic Ozarks will live only in song and story."